The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Greetings, people of the internet. My name is Big Mo, and it is my honor to welcome you to the hardest hitting, full of ranting, most entertaining show in the world. This is the Dave Van Auken Show!
Welcome to episode 126. I'm Dave Van Auken. This is the Dave Van Auken Show. You hit the right damn button, I'll tell you that. Guys, packed show. We have Hannah Guytuff, 30 alum, just breaking news with the Invicta FC fight. Hannah Guy's coming on the pod. Also, you know our favorite guys, Ben and Bananas, Ryan Quinn, L. Wagman, and myself. We break down UFC Paris. What's your best bet? What's the best underdog in a three-fight parlay? And when you make those bets, and you want to make some money, you want to watch the fights, and you want to win some money, there's only one thing to do, guys. Listen to me right now. Head to mybookie.ag right now. You know, you can probably be on your iPhone listening to this, and you can kind of open up your Safari, right? Open up your Google Chrome. Go to mybookie.ag.com right now. Put in the promo code bananas. You go to mybookie.ag, comes up. You go, oh, what code do you do? Boom, you hit that code. You write in bananas. You get a 50% match back deposit. 50% match back deposit. You put in a 200 bones, you get a free $100. Then you put that $100 on Robert Whittaker and you win $46. So you just won $146. That's math. That's just math. So guys, go to mybookie.ag today. Make sure you use the promo code bananas. All right, episode 126, guys. Episode 125 was a smashing success. It was a therapy session for me, for sure. Just a lot to get off my chest from this past weekend. Episode 126, we back. It's nothing but good vibes, good times. L. Wagman, Ryan Quinn, next, Ben and Bananas, and then the anchor of this pod, one of my favorites, becoming a real good friend, Hannah Guy, comes on the show. So let's get to it right now. Let's have a great day. We'll talk to you guys very, very soon. Back UFC Paris this weekend. We got some news coming on the horizon. Hannah Guy, Ben and Bananas, let's go. What's up, guys? We are back. UFC Paris week, big weekend in mixed martial arts. To my left, the corner man, Ryan Quinn. What's up, brother? How are you?
What's going on, everybody? Good to be back again talking about fights and picks.
I know. Said like last week, I watched it like twice, and we fluffed 24 minutes. It was amazing, but yeah. We fluffed it. Underneath, who fluffs nothing, undefeated, has a fight on the horizon, the undefeated, the ruthless L. Wagman. L, how are you?
Doing great. Glad to be back actually picking some fights this week.
There we go. Me too. It's a kind of a weird card. To me, there's two or three high-level pay-per-view type of big fights. The bottom of the card, especially maybe to a lot of mainstream guys or outer guys, they probably don't know. There's a couple of little that Wood versus Jourdain is a great fight. That's a little sleeper there, but a lot of stuff maybe to take advantage of or maybe to be lost. So I'll let you guys take it away. Let's start with L. Wagman. Of course, what is your absolute? You've been nailing this one now. What's your absolute best bet on the board?
So Gon was such a big favorite on this card. Yep. I was actually surprised to see him as such a heavy favorite, but I really think that this is going to go over 2.5 rounds. And you can get plus money on Gon just by adding the over two and a half to that. He kind of starts slow, and I think that's going to actually be to his benefit with a guy like Tai Tuivasa, who has one way to win, which is a knockout in rounds 1 and 2, is the only way I see Tai winning this fight. and he's going to slow down in those later rounds. And Gon is an absolute master of the range control. He's great at slowing down the fights, and he's great at picking apart those shorter guys. I really think he's going to take his time with Ty, and I think you'll see him in the over.
Spoiler alert, that's my absolute favorite bet on the card. I just literally recorded the show. I love Ciryl Gane. I think it's actually going to go all 25 minutes, to be really honest. I think they're going to stay away. I don't think Gane to me is a welterweight and a heavyweight body. Very smooth, very technical. I love that play. Good job, L. Wagman. Ryan, best bet on the board, my man.
Yeah, before I get into my best bet, you know, I purposely stayed away from that for the reasons you just said. I felt like it was going to be touched on. Gane is just such an untraditional heavyweight fighter in the sense. It's not like Rock'em Sock'em. He's very calculated. He could use that lateral footwork. So I love watching that guy fight. But my pick of the night is the next fight down. I have Robert Whittaker over Marvin Vettori. I just think that Robert is he's more athletic. We're going to see that a little more now. Marvin is so solid, but I feel like Whitaker's just a little bit faster. He's got a little bit more to his game. You know, he could level change. He could use the take. We're going to see a much more confident approach than when he last fought Israel without the frustration. So I just have him winning. I think it's going to go all through 15 minutes.
Love that as well. I love awesome Bobby Knuckle. He's like every fighter's favorite fighter, so you can't go wrong there. Mm-hmm. All right, underdog play. There's not a lot of great underdog play. Let's see if something jumped at you guys more than me. I looked through it. I went to mybookie.ag. That's where I make my bets. I couldn't find a lot. Elle, what's your best underdog play in the card?
So I actually have two that I kind of want to touch on, but I really think that these are ones that you should play the live lines on. I definitely agree with you. I think the Vegas odds, like, they did a good job this card. They know what they're doing. But there's two guys I think you should watch for, and that's Nathaniel Wood and Joaquin Buckley. Buckley is like this crazy wild card. He'll have these fights where he comes out and he looks absolutely terrible. And, you know, he can't get going. He's sloppy. And those are the fights where he ends up losing. And then he'll have these fights where he comes out with just this crazy athleticism. And those are the fights where he ends up finding those early flash KOs. So I think if you watch him in the first minute and a half, if he looks comfortable and if he's moving in and out, I think that you should definitely play the plus money while he's still got that plus money early in the fight. As for Wood, I don't know. As with Charles Jourdain, he's a hard fighter for me. I think he's pretty overrated, to be honest. I know he's got some of these cool, flashy things that he does really well. But if you look at the strength of schedule, other than Shane Burgos, he's not losing to these super high-level guys. Like, Juliana Rosa is tough as nails, and that's how he beat him. He just simply out-dogged him and grappled him heavily and got him to the ground. Wood has the better wrestling, and I think that Wood is also really fundamentally sound. He's very defensively sound, and he's very clean. And I think Jourdain does better with the guys who he can kind of lull into his awkward, weird, brawly thing that he does. And that's where he's dangerous. And I think he's going to have a hard time getting Wood into that. And if you see Wood's keeping the range really well or fitting in early, I think that he's another guy that you should play those live lines.
L. Wagman's definitely the younger sister I never had. My best underdog plays Nathaniel Wood. I just think he's underrated. And I like Jourdain as well. I think he's a tad overrated. Like, it's wavelength 100%. It's going to be a good fight, and the odds are close. They are, but Wood is the underdog, so I like that as well. Ryan, my guy, any of those jump at you as well, or you have a new underdog?
Joaquin Buckley by knockout for the same reason. Yeah, it jumps off the page at me. You know, I feel like which Phil did Nazarene fight? Was it Phil Hawes? I forgot who he fought, but he looked real sloppy and somewhat exposed, and yep. I just feel that Buckley is just – he's going to come in there just throwing that right hand a lot, throwing that straight a lot, throwing the overhand, and I think it's going to land. So I have him by knockout. I'll get into the other fight later.
Okay. I like that. That means my parlay's coming one way or another. Mm-hmm. L. Wagman, Ryan, we've been nailing these guys. My girls had such a good summer. They got like three pairs of shoes, and they got, you know, socks, and they got all kinds of hats and – so the girls are doing good, and that's because I hit three fight parlays for my guy Ryan and L. I go to mybookie.ag. L, keep it rolling. All right, we're back in the UFC. Let's nail a three fight parlay. I'm ready. Let's hit it.
So I'm going to start off with my best bet as my first leg with Gon in that over 2.5 rounds. And then I'm actually going to steal Ryan's best bet with Whitaker over Vettori. I'm not sold on the over with that. I'm leaning towards the over. I think that's going to be a decision, but I just threw Whitaker in there as the winner. And then the last leg of my parlay was Roman Kopylov. I feel like he and Alessio Di Chirico are both kind of fighting for their jobs. They're both kind of on a bit of a skid. And Alessio has struggled with those heavy wrestlers in the past. I think Kopylov is a tough style matchup for Alessio in this fight.
Oof. A lot of big names that I'm not going to try to pronounce right now. I'm not commentator, so I'm going to relax on it. Ryan, that's a good one right there. Gon, Whitaker, okay, Roman, I like that. Ryan, what's your three-fight parlay, my guy?
All right, first one I have right at the top, I got Stephanie Eger over Aylin Perez. I just feel that, and actually, I think that fight's going to be a finish as well. I just feel that Stephanie, she's fought just much tougher competition. She's solid. Aileen's, she's a newcomer. I think she took this fight on fairly short notice as well. And her opposition was like, I think the best person she ever fought was like 8-4. Like, so it was, and just coming up against a now going to be 5-fight UFC veteran, going to be tough to do. The next one I have, I kind of leaned on the French prospect to watch thing here. You know, I looked at his opposition. Let me just get to his name. Benoit Saint-Denis. He's fought a lot of really tough dudes, and he's fought at the UAE. I forgot the name of the UAE promotion. He fought on Cage Warriors, fought a lot of that tough European Middle East competition. And, he's facing a late replacement in Gabriel Miranda. I think that this is definitely a fight where he's going to be a French prospect to watch. Now going back to the underdogs with Nathaniel Wood and, Charles Jourdain. I have Wood over Jourdain as well. On top of everything we just said, I just think he's got the scrappiness. You know, I think we're going to see a lot of shooting under long punches for takedowns and just that scrappy grind style in this fight. I know Charles has really good, they say he's well-rounded. We've seen really good striking out of him. We've seen pretty good grappling, but we haven't seen really the middle ground to really judge that. And I think that, you know, Nathaniel Wood, he's up at 145 now. He just fought 2.5 months ago, which maybe he took no damage. He's probably feeling good now that he's up in weight. You know, he's still rolling, and he's slipped into shape for this fight as well. And I like that. So that's my 3-5 parlay.
I like it. I like it a lot, guys. A lot of Nathaniel Wood on it. Real quick, we got like a couple more minutes. So let me just two last things I want to throw your way. Sean Strickland's out last night, Contender Series. I don't know if you guys saw his mangled finger on social media. He's out. October 15th, Jarrett Kinnear needs a new dancing partner. Would you guys think if Bobby Knuckles or if Marvin Vettori, one of those guys, slides in pretty easily, even by a TKO win, or even goes 15 minutes but doesn't take a lot of damage, can you see one of those guys winning and kind of jumping for that main event spot to get another win? The middleweights, if Izzy keeps that spot, it's like, what else do you do? But if Piera wins in 6 weeks in Madison Square Garden, you kind of want to have that momentum. And if Robert Whittaker beats Vettori and Kinnear in like in a 4-week fashion, that would be big. That would be big. Do you guys like that idea? Or are you guys like, no, this is his one big moment. Stay away.
I think that's a great idea, especially with Bobby Knuckles has kind of been, he's been stuck at that number one contender. Fought for so long, he's kind of like the Colby Covington of that division, where he just can't quite beat the champ, but he's demolishing everybody else, you know. I think you'll see him kind of jump for that and probably get his next title shot again. Sorry, Ryan,
it's totally fine. I think it works well for both of them, but it works better for Marvin. I think that he really needs a little more push behind him. You know, there's a lot of stars in that division. And he's a great fighter, but he's kind of like, you know, he needs to really push up there. Yeah. I feel like, does Whitaker, has he really done like a short turnaround on fights recently?
He really doesn't. Remember, they even offered the title shot towards the end of the year, and he like turned it down. He's like, no, I want to be with Christmas with my family. He turned down a title shot to give Izzy more time. He really does it, but maybe if the UFC goes like, hey, you know, we might have a new champion. We really want to make a statement. especially like I said, if Vettori wins, if Vettori beats Robert Whittaker and Jarrett Kinnear in a 5-week span, like he's the number one contender. Like Vettori versus Alex Pereira is kind of cool. Same thing I would assume with Robert Whittaker. Whittaker has beat Kinnear before. You know, it's a lot of rematches up there in the middleweight division, especially, you know, about, you know, Whittaker's been there for so long. I just think it's a main event. You need a big name, and maybe both these guys cancel each other out. And all the other middleweights are pretty much tied up. The only other one that's not is Darren Till. And I don't know if Till wants to go 25 minutes with Kinnear. I don't know. Seems off.
Yeah, it's tough. I think for sure they're waiting for this week to play out to see what happens next.
Last thing for you, Ciryl Gane, Tai Tuivasa. Do you foresee one of these, and especially I would assume the winner, can one of these guys become UFC heavyweight champion? John Jones is coming back. We got Stipe, maybe one more fight, two more. We got Francis Ngannou. Can Gane or Tai Tuivasa ever become heavyweight champion?
I don't think Ty is going to end up with a belt, man. I think he beats, obviously he's got the power and it's always possible. And at heavyweight, you see that puncher's chance happen a lot more often, but Francis is so much more physical. So obviously I know he's out right now. We're going to see an interim champ. I could see Gane maybe beating Stipe. I don't think Gane beats John. Well, I'm interested to see how John Jones does at heavyweight, but the guy looks huge right now. And he has such an athletic advantage over a lot of those, a speed athletic advantage over a lot of those heavyweights. I think he's probably going to dominate that division as well. And I think Gane's going to have a lot of trouble with a guy like John Jones, who's just as long as him, but can also wrestle.
Got it. Ryan?
Yeah, maybe Gane. I don't see Tuivasa. I don't see Ty doing it. But I think if Ty pulls off a win this weekend, I think that they express lane him to a title shot. Because
Me too.
Similar to like how they did it for Derek Lewis, it's like you don't want to chance this guy getting out wrestled or getting beat by like just get him in there, you know, while the iron's hot, you know.
Yeah.
But I could see Gane more than Tuivasa becoming champion.
There we go, guys. The cornerman, Ryan Quinn, the undefeated L. Wagman. Guys, make your bets this weekend for UFC Paris at mybookie.ag. Make sure to use promo code bananas. Like, come on, use the code, people. We appreciate it. I think that's it. I think we absolutely murdered this card. I think we made a lot of people money. Buckley is the underdog. Looks like we're all on Gane, going the distance or winning. And we all got Robert Whittaker. So we're all kind of on the same page. I like it. We're unison.
All right. That's what I'm talking about.
Are you in with a trivia, Ryan? Are you going to kill us with the trivia?
I don't. I forgot to get a trivia tonight. Maybe I'll give you two next week. I forgot.
Next time, we'll start the show with the trivia, and we'll end up with it.
Yeah. All right, perfect.
All right, guys. See you guys later.
Later.
What's up, guys? How is everyone doing? The red light is on. I'm Dave Van Auken. And to my left, my friend Hannah Guy. Hi, Hannah. What's up?
What's up? How's it going?
Oh, my gosh. I just to live a couple days in Hannah Guy's life. That's a dream of mine. You know, just to travel and train and just living the dream. From afar, it seems like you're in a really great space, great spot. Just seems like Hannah Guy's got good momentum going.
Yeah, it's been going really good. Now I'm like settled into like a camp and, I'm really liking like Biloxi, working with all the coaches here, and I'm feeling really good. And, you know, being in a routine always helps you like grow faster. So I'm really seeing that right now. But yeah, things have been awesome. I've been able to travel this summer and kind of got that out of my system, you know, before camp starts. So it was like perfect timing. Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, cool. Well, you and I kind of talked a couple of days ago. We're like, yep, we're going to do this. I remember talking to you, I think it was right after Bellator, right after your win against Valerie. And we talked off air, but we haven't talked back on air. And you're like, Dave, I actually have fight news coming very soon. So it's kind of been a day or two. Are we allowed to talk about Hannah Guy's next fight news?
Yes. So I'm fighting Caitlin Neal, Katniss, September 28th with Invicta.
Okay.
So, I thought it was like a perfect fight, you know, because she is a little more well known, and plus being on the show, like both of us being on the show, like being able to fight each other is really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Like spinoff of Tough 30.
It's like a Bravo hit TV series. You got a little spinoff on it. Did you in the house, did you kind of inkle it, or one day you're like, okay, like, you know, this fight's going to happen one day, whatever, maybe no bad blood, but did you hope that this fight would happen?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Me and Caitlin have, I mean, so we like connected more, you know, before, the show started. So, you know, we had medicals and stuff like a week before the show. And, you know, as long as you passed that and a couple other things, like, you were in. But if, right. you know, something happened. So that's why, like, I replaced one of the girls, and I was actually an alternate. So, but I was on the bus doing my medicals with Caitlin and some other people, too. And hold on just a second. So we were like connecting really well, and then we got put on different teams, and right. we didn't talk as much. Right. You know, some people didn't have like that as much, but yeah, I definitely was trying to stay connected more with my team.
Sure.
You know, just I can be kind of an open book sometimes, so I was kind of scared I would like give away team secrets, whatever.
Yeah. Tell the other team. I love the guillotine. I love it, guys. Don't worry about it. I love doing it, though.
Right. I mean, I'm pretty open just about myself. Like,
right.
you know, I mean, obviously my little secret stuff, like I want to keep a secret. But, you know, it was more for other people, you know, so they wouldn't get mad at me. Or if it was like a secret, you know, I wasn't giving it away. So. We didn't really, like, connect in the house as much. We would have conversations every now and then. But, you know, our personalities clicked with each other just in general. So after the show, we've talked a little bit more. And we both went to, you know, Juliana Pena's fight and yeah. Tough 30 finale. We were both there. So we got to talk a little bit. And then we were always, like, joking around with each other, like, because, you know, in the past, if you were on the show, even if you lost.
Yeah, everyone would, like, fight each other. Yeah, like, yeah. everyone matched yeah. up.
Uh-huh. And then in the past, like, those people would even be on the card. So we were, like, joking around before the finale, like, that we should call each other out and, like, talk shit online. And that way maybe we can be on that card together and, like, fight each other. And even though that didn't happen on a UFC card and it's happening with Invicta, I'm still super excited. I think it's a great fight for me. You know, she probably thinks it's a great fight for her, but I kind of feel like it's in my favor a little bit.
Okay. That's hey, no, that's good. Like, so how did the Invicta connection kind of happen? You know, because sometimes the UFC put so much time and effort into, you know, you guys and the stories and tape, and they got pictures and they got video. So sometimes sooner or later does seem like even a lot of people, you know, you and I talked to off air about this, like your fight, like about how it ended, and everyone thought like you should definitely get another crack pretty damn soon too. And so it seems like for them to like have go to Invicta, that's not like, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but I'm just trying to use name and term. Like, it's almost, it's like the enemy. It's like, it's another organization that wants to kind of build maybe Hannah Guy. So like, how did that crossover to Invicta happen?
Well, it's more me, you know, being ready to fight and wanting a fight. And
yeah.
You know, they had the right opponent for me on a good date. So that's kind of how that happened. I also just, changed, you know, my management. You know, I'm with Epoch now with AJ Chandler, and you know, I kind of told him my goals, and we've been talking a lot, and that was just one of the fights he found. So and you know, I kind of am, I have, you know, Alan Belcher, Odie Delaney, you know, Brandon Davis, Mike Sanford, all those people. And they all agree that it was a good fight for me. And, you know, I put a lot of of trust in them. So, yeah, that's just kind of how it came about, you know. And I told him, you know, as far as my goals, like, obviously UFC is, like, my long-term goal. But sure. Until then, like, I really don't care, like, who I'm fighting for, you know. If somebody's paying me properly and getting me good fights, you know, I can't really ask for more than that, really, you right. know. I mean, you know, I think PFL and ONE are also great avenues. Yeah, just really whatever fits at the moment. And, you know, I don't think I'm too good for Invicta or a smaller promotion or anything. So, you know, they're paying me well and gave me a good opponent. So
there you go. We talked about this off air. So 2 weeks ago, I think it was the weekend I was even there in Biloxi, which we had a decent time after the fights downtown Biloxi. Myself, yes. L. Wagman, Eddie, and Hannah, we had a good time. But that weekend, PFL had its first ever female flyweight fight. And then she looked, Dakota looked awesome. And it looked like they signed her and they're going to be around. So it looks like I would assume they will build up a female flyweight division. And you just kind of said that, like, that's something that definitely interests you for sure. If PFL in 2023 is a female flyweight destination.
Yes, that would be so awesome. Yeah, okay. And my manager definitely talked about that. And definitely
okay.
looking at.
Very cool. Very cool. You also mentioned we have to hit on it a little bit, and you might even be done talking about it. Maybe I'm not too sure. You're at the Tough Enough 30, you know, finale. Your girl Juju, it's been awesome. We've been talking so much lately, and she just has like the highest regards for you and talking out like how great you guys became friends and all that. For her to win and win in that way, in that fashion, and just to be, she's like really gained a lot of steam. She's like blown up over the last 60 days, 45 days. And just like, how cool is it to be like, hey, like that's a, you know, a point. That's definitely something that, you know, you would even want to do in the near future. And it's definitely accessible and it's easy because you have someone right next to you that just did it. How, like, does that make you not like gain confidence in a way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, there's some little things that I need to work on, but me and Juju have a similar style, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and just being on the show in general, you know, made me feel like I held my own. And even with the controversial, like, end of the second round, you know, people thought I needed a third, whatever, you know, fixing those minor details, you know, I feel like the fact that I was able to hold my own, like, gives me a lot of confidence.
Right.
You know,
for sure. For sure. Another name you mentioned, a friend of ours as well, Alan Belcher. He's doing his thing. His run is, it's awesome. It's really awesome to see him kind of back and to see big things. I cannot wait for that. Looks like Bare Knuckle FC heavyweight championship match will happen sooner than later. You know, it was really cool. I saw you at the gym as well down there at ATT, 5 minutes away from Biloxi, Mississippi. The gym really kind of blew me away, honestly, just to be blunt about it. It was humongous. You guys had, there's so much room. There's so many spots for different, you know, MMA kind of tasks or talents and that stuff. I love the gym. How cool is it to kind of, that's kind of a little bit of your home base right now and really kind of start leveling up, Hannah Guy?
Yeah. So, I mean, in the past, you know, it still had some strengths, but I wasn't sure it had like training partners for me and things like that. And now that problem is fixed. I love the environment. I love being next to the beach. But yeah, those mats are filled up every night.
Yeah.
Not only the mats, but the cage and ring. So yeah, I definitely feel like well supported and I have a good team behind me and, you know, people that can push me and feel like there's people I can push to. So it's like a good balance. And I just feel very blessed because all the coaches are just really invested too, since it's not a huge school. You know, I feel like I'm able to get a lot of attention one-on-one from, you know, all the coaching staff. And you know, Alan and Odie are like really invested and you know, are there not only for like, you know, my martial arts growth, but, you know, my mental health growth and you know, my long-term goals just in general. So, yeah, I feel really blessed.
Very cool. What, you just said, what's one long-term goal, maybe outside of MMA and outside fighting? What's one long-term Hannah Guy goal?
I have some like little fun hobbies that I want to do, but one thing I really want to do is start pretty kind of short term and make it bigger if possible, is start like a nonprofit. But start maybe selling like a clothing line, and part of that clothing line go to a nonprofit, and then eventually making my own. I'm really passionate about like conservation, and also I know how expensive jiu-jitsu can be, and yeah, how important it is for a lot of kids to get involved, and for bullies or just self-defense in general. And so I'd really like to figure out a way to help, you know, people who can't afford to train to be able to train. And I'm sure there's some stuff out there already, but I'd really like to kind of do my own thing with it. But then, you know, after I'm done fighting, just in general, obviously I want to continue training forever, if possible. But I would like to get into like conservation, you know, with animals and, you know, just earth, you know. Yeah. I'm definitely like a hippie, like I love the earth.
We need more people like you. We need more people, you know, conserving earth. We need that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, sea animals are a big interest for me, but just in general, it's just something I'd like to get involved in. And, you know, I'd like to go to space. You know, I have a bunch of little things.
Ooh,
I want to do.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. It's Buzz Aldrin and Buzz Lightyear and Hannah Guy. We get it. We get it. You know, we're going to the moon. We're going.
Yeah.
Couple last things. Yeah. We got five fun questions for you at the end. Okay. So the last time, yeah, I was there, and then your new podcast with Ashley Evan Smith came out.
Yeah.
it was very interesting, very fun. What have you kind of like feedback from that podcast, or even just like even social media as a whole? I didn't know I was going to go this angle with it, but it just happened, like with Taylor Starlin. She didn't have a good night a couple nights ago at Bare Knuckle, and you know, her social media has been like very disgusting and visceral and just kind of nasty. How has been yours, and how has like, you know, any feedback or positive feedback, hopefully, for the podcast with Ashley Evan Smith, and just kind of your socials, and just kind of maybe trying to get out there a little bit more in front of the light?
Yeah. I really haven't had a ton of negative feedback, or anything that I see might be negative. I usually just delete and don't read, honestly. But I mean, honestly, I'm not on social media very much. Right. I am, you know, I know it's important to grow, so I do post on there. But honestly, a lot of times I don't even read the comments, because it's not worth it to me to see like negative comments and for it to kind of mess my mindset up. But yeah, I did kind of get a little deep on that podcast, even though it's not the typical podcast to get deep on in that way. You know, I did talk about like a toxic relationship I was in and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm surprised I didn't really get a lot of feedback, but I feel like it was able to come across probably to a lot of people as me just being genuine and just being.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely makes a difference. And I think people can tell that when you are being genuine and, you know.
And then the thing I got from it, so I listened to it on the way home, actually, from Biloxi. Like, it was, to me, and I know you probably more than the, you know, the average person just listening to everything. Like, you are very, like, kind-hearted, and you're just very, like, easy to talk to, and just very open, and just, like, kind of fun, bubbly. Like, these are, I think, good characteristics of you. So, like, off that podcast, like, I got that. I was like, oh, like, Hannah is just very fun-loving and just very open and honest. And, it's not, yeah, I laughed out loud, I think, twice. I think out loud on the show.
Yeah.
It was good. I was good. Definitely.
I'd never done a podcast like that before as far as all the sex talk and stuff. So it was a lot of fun. And it was cool, like, for people to be able to see that side of me, like, if they wanted to, whatever. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And she's so good. I talked to her a couple times. She was actually doing a lot of stuff with Fight Bananas a couple years ago before COVID. And then that kind of slowed down. But, like, she just has this, like, way of, like, asking you but not asking you. It's like, hey, you don't have to say it, but can you say it? Like, she just has a very good motherly communication skill. She's pretty good. She's good.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah, I definitely enjoyed doing that.
Absolutely. All right, I got five fun questions. And first thing that comes to your head. You ready?
Okay.
All right, first one. What do you have a hidden talent or skill?
Oh, dang it. You should have told me these questions before. I don't know. I feel like I'm a good dog trainer, maybe.
Okay. No, that works.
I turned my dog into a service dog for the most part. So.
That's a skill. One of my favorite questions I ask this.
I'm fine too, actually. I don't practice very much, but usually once I, you know, focus and start. But that's really anything like I focus on, I can usually get pretty good at. But, you know, I love music, and I would definitely say that's a little hidden talent too.
With Alan banging those drums, you guys are going to start a little band.
Yes.
Dude, I see it. Just bah, 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 bah,
bah, bah, bah. His mom too. His mom is so talented.
Really?
Yeah, she can sing too. Alan can sing, and they both play guitar. And then Alan does the drums. So yeah, we pretty much do have a band over here.
I know. That's literally called a band. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite questions. If you can have dinner with any two guests, dead or alive, who do you go to dinner with?
I'd probably do dinner with my grandpa. Because he died when I was like 10 or 11, but I hadn't really spent a lot of time with him. So just kind of like get to know him like as an adult now would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then I feel like Jesus would be pretty cool. Like I don't consider myself a Christian or anything. I am super spiritual, whatever, but I feel like he was just a really great dude. Like it sounds like he just like loved people and whatever. I would just love to be around that energy and have a conversation with him. That would be awesome.
He's got stories. Like he's got some stories.
Yes.
I get to see him drinking some wine, be like, all right, Hannah, listen to this. Like he's got to have some stories. What was your very first job?
My very first job was technically this place called Peppers. And it's kind of like a McAllister's. I worked like two or three shifts, and I pretty much was irresponsible and didn't know how to like trade shifts with someone, and I got fired. But my first job that I actually kept was like a camp counselor, and it was just a day camp, and that was the most fun job I had had besides being a fighter, obviously. Yeah. But that was a lot of fun. I became a lifeguard for that and like met a lot of good friends and just kind of learned a lot like being in that leadership role. So it was cool. Yep.
Your favorite day of the week?
Probably Sunday or Monday.
Sunday. All right. Last one, and this is, I think, a good one for you. I don't know why. I just always have this about you with the van and you traveling. If you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live? Where would be like your destination point?
Oh, probably just some like island, like Hawaii or something.
Okay.
I haven't been there, but I've heard it's amazing. So.
You'll go there and be like, yep, this is it for the rest of my life. You'll be there for 2 weeks, like, oh, I don't know. Like they don't have enough malls here, so I don't know if I can do this.
Malls. You know me at all.
I know. There we go. There's Going Bananas with Hannah Guy. Man, so pumped. I September 29th. That's when it is?
28th, but yes.
28th. September 28th. Really, really big fight. Very excited for you. A tough 30 alum fight. It's the spinoff show.
Yes.
Excited. Awesome. Anything else? Anything else you have on your plate or you want to talk about or sponsors or anything like that?
Yeah, just hex.com. They're my sponsor. It's a cryptocurrency that actually adds interest, you know, the longer you have it. And this is a great time to invest because it's cheaper right now. And you know, the economy is not as good right now, but obviously it's going to get better again and that value is just going to go up. So hex.com, they're awesome. Check them out.
Dude, good sales pitch, by the way. I'm going to cut that up and send it to Hex, man. Hey. The economy is going down, crypto going. I love it. There you go. Gee whiz. And the guy with the sales pitch.
Yeah, but like for real, like you can make some bank. So
we're about that. Awesome. Hannah, it's always great to talk to you. Great to see you. Hopefully myself personally will be in Biloxi soon. We can definitely shoot some more content and do some more exercises and can't wait to go back to the gym. That gym was awesome. I was a big fan of that gym. It was huge. A lot of, you know, machines to work. I love that outside area with the ring and the cage. It was great. Yes. It was a great gym. Loved it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And everyone there is super great. Like, can't go wrong.
Absolutely. Well, awesome. Hannah, great to see you. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. See ya. Bye. Hey there.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.